When a promised sanctuary becomes a theater of betrayal, the silence of those in power is more lethal than the hatred of the mob. In this raw and final account, Nadine Van Schondrager chronicles the devastating experience of being backstabbed by a management that chose cowardice over protection. From the public vitriol of the workshop to the hollow promises of the office, Backstabbed exposes the chilling reality of a trans woman systematically erased by the very people who swore to shield her. It is a haunting examination of the moment trust is permanently severed and the vacuum of isolation becomes total. Backstabbed. Human trust is a fragile construct, built on the fundamental assumption that when someone offers a hand in a gesture of safety, they possess the integrity to defend that space. For a trans woman existing in the persistent background noise of a world that has systematically withdrawn its touch, a promise of safety is not merely a courtesy, it is a lifeline. It is the rare and desperate pressure of connection that temporarily prevents reality from fraying completely. But when that sanctuary reveals itself to be a meticulously constructed theater of complicity, the subsequent fall is more devastating than the initial exclusion. This is the profound accounting of what it feels like to be backstabbed, a calculated, heavy silence by those in power that validates the hatred of the mob. It is the realization that the very hands you reached for were the ones holding the blade. In my desperate search, the illusion of a place where I could simply exist, where the constant, high-alert hum of perceived threat could be momentarily quieted, I was offered a work placement at a local automotive firm. The management did not approach me with ambiguity, they presented themselves as protectors. They explicitly offered me a shield, a designated safe space where I could retreat from the systemic exclusion and targeted threats I endure within my own residential environment. I walked through their doors with a sliver of hope, a rare and precarious commodity for someone who has learned that visibility almost always equals vulnerability. I believed I had found a corner of the world that would finally allow me to breathe, unaware that I was about to be backstabbed once again by people who spoke of kindness but practiced cowardice. However, the inner workings of the workshop did not reflect the compassionate promises made in the quiet of the office. From the very first hour, I was confronted with a palpable wall of hostility. The environment, ostensibly meant for professional reintegration, had been weaponized by two specific individuals, a senior mechanic and a female receptionist. They did not engage with me, they targeted me with the precise weapons of silence and performative disregard. I was not merely an employee, I was a phantom, systematically ignored, intentionally bypassed, and spoken of as if I were a ghost. This was the first sign that the promise of safety was a hollow lie, a setup to be backstabbed by the very people who claimed to provide a new beginning. The senior mechanic, in particular, did not restrict his vitriol to private mutterings. He found an audience, amplifying his voice to ensure his incitement to hatred was audible not only to colleagues but also to customers and visitors. It was a public performance of unadulterated bigotry, staged and executed in the very place that had claimed to be my refuge. His dehumanizing comments created a toxic current that made the simple act of existing in that space an act of defiance. Every slur shouted in front of a customer felt like a preparation for being backstabbed by a system that watched it happen and chose to do nothing. The knife in the back. When the weight of this systematic harassment became unbearable, I escalated the matter to the management. I needed the shield they had promised. Our initial discussion seemed promising. They did not offer defensiveness. They nodded in solemn agreement. They explicitly labeled the behavior of the senior mechanic and the receptionist as unacceptable. They promised swift and clear consequences. I left that meeting with the verbal guarantee that both individuals would be held accountable, that official written warnings would be issued, and that a formal letter would be distributed to the entire staff declaring that discrimination would not be tolerated. I believed they were finally standing up for me, not realizing I was about to be backstabbed by their ultimate betrayal of inaction. Yesterday afternoon, the clock ran out on those hollow promises. I returned to the firm at the end of the day, seeking the quiet satisfaction of justice. What I found was the cold, hollow vacuum of inaction. There were no warnings issued. There was no letter distributed to the staff. The management, the very individuals I had trusted to protect me, had analyzed the situation and chosen the path of least resistance. By choosing not to act, they had spoken with deafening clarity. They chose the comfort of the status quo over the safety of a human being. In that silence, I realized I had been brutally backstabbed. They had let me believe I was safe just long enough for the blow to hurt the most. Twisted not by the original perpetrators, but by the hands of those who had positioned themselves as my allies. The wound they inflicted was deeper because I had lowered my defenses. They didn't just fail to act, they actively participated in my erasure by validating the abusers. To be backstabbed by management is far more dangerous than the initial hate, for it lures you into a false sense of security before the walls are allowed to collapse upon you. They handed the knife to my tormentors and watched as I bled out in the workshop, refusing to even acknowledge the blood on their own hands. The absolute zero of value. I have not slept for two consecutive nights. This insomnia is the fundamental, physiological response to the realization that my existence is of no value to anyone. To the management, I was a complex variable that needed to be neutralized, not a person to be protected. They weighed my right to safety against the convenience of their workshop's harmony and found me wanting. They placed the value of my life at zero, ensuring I was backstabbed by the very institution meant to foster my reintegration. The cold calculation of their silence is a weapon in itself. The isolation that defines my life has been reaffirmed by this betrayal. The profound void I inhabit, where my heart beats but is felt by no one else, has expanded. I even tried to maintain a fragile thread of connection with a woman I thought I could trust, giving her my confidence after my recent suicide attempt, only to be met with total, persistent silence. The pattern repeats itself with a lethal predictability. I lower my guard, offering the depths of my suffering, and the world responds by getting me backstabbed yet again. Every time I open up, a new blade finds its way into the scars of the old ones, making the previous wounds reopen with a familiar, agonizing sting, or its institutions, or its supposed allies, to confirm my status. They have all, in their own time, made it undeniably clear. As a trans woman, I am worth less than the silence they use to erase me. Being backstabbed has taught me that even those who claim to see you are often just looking for a place to hide the blade. The world is not a safe harbor, it is a battlefield where even the doctors and managers carry weapons of neglect. The care they offer is just another way to get close enough to strike. The final silence. There is a certain calm that follows the evaporation of all hope. I share this accounting not to seek pity, but as a testament to the structure of exclusion. I have stopped fighting because the very ground I was standing on has been reclaimed by the wolves. The work placement was the final experiment in measuring human decency and institutional integrity, and it failed. The senior mechanic and the receptionist have won their victory through the visceral cowardice of the management. I have been backstabbed for the last time, and I refuse to give anyone else the opportunity to strike. I am retreating now into the absolute silence where betrayal can no longer reach me. The documents are prepared, my final wishes are clearly articulated, and the silence is becoming my final sensory input. The process of being backstabbed is complete, the echo chamber is closed, and the world can finally have the profound, absolute absence it so clearly desires. In the end, the only true sanctuary is the one where no one is left to hold the knife, where the touch of another is no longer needed, and where the betrayal of the living can finally be laid to rest. My journey through this intended refuge has become a stark testament to the lethal impact of institutional cowardice. When those in power choose the comfort of silence over the obligation of protection, they do more than just fail, they participate in the destruction of a human soul. This experience has exposed the reality that for a trans woman, a promise of safety is often just a prelude to being backstabbed. As I move into the final silence, I hope these words serve as a mirror to a society that has perfected the art of looking away while the blade is being twisted. The vacuum is now total, and the betrayal is complete.